This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Support for this podcast is provided by Subchuck Law. Revolution Recap thanks Subchuck Law for their support of our show, local independent media, and their mission of bringing unbiased truth. Revolution Recap would also like to thank Six Point Builders for their support. Six Point Builders are builders of fine custom homes in the Boston metropolitan area. Revolution Precap. We are back again this week to preview the game against the New York Rebels this weekend at home at Gillette Stadium. And as always, we have two parts to that preview. So I'll actually be going through the Red Bulls and what to expect from them after our interview with Seth Maycomber of the Blazing Musket and Steve Cangelosi. Steve Cangelosi will be on the Apple TV call this weekend along with Taylor Twellman. So Seth had a great chat with him talking about, the usual, where the Revs are at. Why are they here? Is it going to get any better? And of course, Steve is very familiar with the Rebels as well. So I'm sure he'll give you the lowdown on what to expect from them. So, hopefully you're ready to go to this weekend's game. You haven't switched your tickets to another game later on the season. The weather's looking better. The closer we get to game time, I don't think we'll have too much rain. Nice, comfortable temperature. And hopefully all the pollen will wash away by then so that we can all breathe while we watch the game. And of course, in addition to watching the game, make sure that if you are looking for somewhere to place your bets this weekend, Bet Online is your number one source for the NBA Finals and Stanley Cup Finals this season. Every stat, every matchup, and even live odds and spreads while the games are being played. And when the game's over, you can head on over to our online casino and get into a game of blackjack or poker, or unwind with one of our over 150 slots games. Head to the website today to get in on the action. Use promo code BLEAV, B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet Online, the game starts here. And of course, we are part of the Believe Network as well. I forgot to mention that in the open, but I'm sure if you're familiar with this podcast, you are familiar with the fact that we are, working with the Believe Network. So with that, let's get to our interview with Seth Maycomber and Steve Cangelosi. And I would recommend that as you sit down to get ready for this interview, you crack open a nice, tasty, zero-gravity Green State Lager and settle in, listen to the interview, and then come back on the other side for a preview of this weekend's game.
All right, everyone. It's Seth Maycomber from the Blazing Musket. Happy to be joined once again by an Apple personality. This week, it's Steve Cangelosi, who will be coming up to Foxborough, calling the game alongside the legendary Taylor Twellman. We have a Red Bulls legend, a New England Revolution legend. How are you guys going to coexist in the press in the booth tonight, this weekend?
Well, I'm sure that Taylor will quickly point out that he has more than 100 career MLS goals than I do. So we'll start from that place, and then we'll see where we go for the rest of the game. Taylor and I worked a few times in the past at ESPN. On occasion, I had the opportunity to fill in for John Champion back in the day when Espen had the package, and that was always fun. And we've known each other for a long, long time, primarily as Steve the announcer and Taylor the player, but then it grew from there, Seth. So this should be fun. The original 96 matchups are always fun.
Yeah, absolutely. We have been starting these podcasts, these weekly podcasts, with the question of what's going on with the New England Revolution. I'm going to switch it this week, Steve, because the New England Revolution got their third win of the season, a 2-1 win over Nashville FC. So here's my question, Steve. Are the New England Revolution back?
It's hard to say that, but I don't want to just skip over how you've been starting this before I've been presented as your guest. Now, the third win of the season is important to get it on the road in the manner in which they did against a Nashville team that thought it was back following its stunning victory over Cincinnati just days earlier. This is a crazy league to attempt to handicap, so I always couch everything I say in that vein. But looking at where this team struggled, some of it I think is easily explained here, Seth, because you're talking about a team under a first-year head coach that in all competitions had that stretch where I think it was 8 games in 26 days, a coach trying to implement his way of playing, a coach who never before, professionally or collegiately, had ever lost his first 4 games of a season with any team. So right away, you're behind the eight ball. I get that. I still think it's a long road back for this team. Are the playoffs out of the question? No. I think Kansas City was a nice reminder last year that you can start dreadfully and find your way as the season goes on. I just think now we enter this very critical point in the year where the Revolution now have to start building on those feel-good moments, and this is a litmus test here for them Saturday night in a very hard game to handicap because key players on both sides are on international duty.
Yeah, Steve, I agree with you. I mean, that's obviously a big win to get that win on the road. The Revs now have more road victories than they do home victories this season. And that's usually the reverse, right, when we talk about Major League Soccer. I thought when I look back at that Nashville game, one of the things that was encouraging to see was that the team was getting the ball forward a little bit more. And it was getting the ball forward a little more quickly. I went down to practice yesterday, and that was something that was brought up, is that you find those transitional moments. Earlier this season, the Revolution are moving the ball from left to right in that back line, trying to find those seams, and it was sometimes leading to errors that were leading to goals. Well, they're still doing that at times, but they're also adding in this element of getting the ball forward quickly, finding opportunities to transition through Carlos Hill, which you need. You need Carlos Hill at his best for this New England Revolution team to be its best. And I think really the X factor here is that you got Dylan Barrero back on the field and he gets his first goal contribution since returning from that ACL injury. So, Steve, when you watch this team, do you feel like things are coming together a little bit more under that new head coach? Because that's what Caleb Porter is saying, is that there's progress here. There's movement here. They've dug themselves a hole, but there's at least some progress that's being had.
I saw what you saw in terms of moving the ball up the field quickly, but I think the challenge now is doing that with Bayraktarevic gone for this week on that right side. And how they approach this game on the wings, I think, is something of a mystery. Dylan Barrero, to me, has always been out there as something that was going to elevate this team once he returns to full fitness. I thought it was a very pleasant surprise to see him play as much as he did. They had the long wait for him. What was his debut? Back on April 27th from the knee injury? At trials and tribulations without a very, very important player until we get to this point. This was someone, I think, who was front and center of what this team was supposed to be about, not only under Caleb Porter, but under Bruce Arena prior to that, in the late stages of the season last year after Bruce was gone. What I think makes this an intriguing matchup on Saturday night in terms of just continuing the things that you're talking about, checking those same boxes, advancing the ball up quickly, is how they fare against a Red Bull press. Because, Seth, I've probably seen more Red Bulls games than anyone over the last 20 years, okay? I probably haven't missed a minute of their games in all of that time. And in various variations of their press, whether it was Jesse Marsh or Chris Armas or Bradley Carnell, Gerhard Struber, and now the latest iteration of this under their coach Sandro Schwartz, how New England deals with this press, to me, is everything in the game we're going to watch on Saturday night. Because when the Red Bulls execute this very well, they give you this sense of comfort very well early in the match, that you can play comfortably with the ball. And then all of a sudden, in that flash, there's a moment where you realize they're not going to let you do that. And how the Revolution navigate that, I think, on Saturday night is a very important thing. And a big loss for New York is Noah Mills-Forsberg. He's the best passer on the team. He's probably the best player on the team. He is with Sweden for international friendlies. They're not even preparing for the Euros because they didn't qualify.
Steve, you mentioned those absences, and I think that's going to play a really big role this weekend, right? A lot of Major League Soccer teams are not playing this weekend because of that international break. Well, the Revolution and the Red Bulls are. On the Revolution side, they're going to be missing Derek Tarevic scoring his first ever MLS goal. Big moment for the 19-year-old. They're also going to be missing Noah Buck. And Noah Buck hasn't played a lot, but I went down to practice, like I mentioned, and Caleb Porter said that they had been playing Noah Buck a little bit on that right wing. Well, now you can't even use him. So you have Ima Boateng that can potentially play there. You bring Jack Paniatu, who's a young player who's down in Rhode Island, 2 assists in 4 games for Rhode Island FC. But they're really light on the wing, so that hurts them. For the Red Bulls, they're missing that creative force, right, going forward. So when you look at the absences, which team is going to be more handicapped by those absences for this weekend's game?
Well, in terms of how the Revolution approach this, okay, remember this, and I've been around long enough to know during these international breaks, a lot of times the coach's solution is not one-for-one switches. And I don't know what Caleb Porter is going to do. I'm scheduled to talk with him a little bit later on this week as we get closer to first kick on Saturday. However, it might be a variation from the formation that won their last game. You could see a two-striker alignment for the Revolution in this game. You might see a situation where Barreto and Carlos Gil wind up playing wide in a formation for this team. Obviously, Gil is one of those players who has latitude to go almost everywhere he wants, and I understand you don't want to take away the strength of your team. He's clearly one of the best number 10s in MLS, but I do know throughout the 29-year history of this league, where international call-ups have regularly affected these games, coaches find more than one way to look for a solution, and therein might lie what the Revolution are going to do. I don't know at this point. We're a little too farther out from that. As for which team will miss the call-ups the most, keep in mind, the Red Bulls are also missing the guy who had the game-winning goal in their most recent victory, and that's John Tolkien, who had that scorcher of a free kick versus Orlando. That's a big loss for them for this week. John will make the Olympic team. He will be a big part of that side that competes in Paris this summer. Kyle Duncan likely comes in for them. We'll see whether or not that's how this plays out. Forsberg is, again, at the forefront of so much of what the Red Bulls do. Now, they've played without him already this season. I think they've fared well, decently enough without him. How they manage this remains to be seen, but they've got some flexibility. Lewis Morgan has played almost exclusively as a number 9 this year. We might see that change just for the purposes of this game. I don't know. He could be utilized as one of the two 10s that Forsberg usually occupies. So I think that the Red Bulls numerically miss more. Remember, they're missing 4 players. The Revolution are missing 3. But Bayrak Tarevic is a big, big setback for this team. And that's almost the equalizer for me when you size this up.
Yeah, it's really interesting. And again, you talk about practice on Tuesday, but Caleb Porter expressed some frustration because he wants lineup continuity. He talks about this idea that, you know, we continue to have to switch guys in and out and in and out. And at one point I had the stat, I think it was through the first 12 games, they hadn't replicated a starting lineup once. And I'm not sure how that's changed since then. I didn't keep track of that stat. That's pretty absurd to think about, not replicating a starting lineup at all. Not even talking back-to-back, but never at all during that stretch. And now, once again, he has to make at least one change. And there's also a little bit of wondering what's going to happen in that back line with Arriaga playing since he came over from Seattle Sounders. But you have this idea of Kessler versus Romney. See, when you think about that, Caleb Porter says they're basically two good options. They both have good chemistry with Arriaga. what do you do in that position? And is it a little bit of a problem that that there is two quality players to play alongside Arriaga? Is that a good thing or a bad thing for Caleb Porter?
Well, I think that it's a good thing, and fixture congestion speaks to a lot of the things that you're talking about here. I haven't done the exact math on this, and now you're putting an idea in the back of my mind to go to Elias or our research staff at Major League Soccer and Apple and have them crunch the numbers on whether or not repetition of a starting 11 is down across the league, which it quite possibly could be, even with the elimination of the U.S. Open Cup for the majority of teams in Major League Soccer this year. So I think that that first part of what you're talking about, the frustration by Caleb to not put a consistent 11, speaks to what we were talking about earlier. All of those games that they had in a span of 26 days. Now, that aside, again, international break. Think outside the box. I've seen coaches do it a number of times. For all I know, Caleb Porter might be thinking of a way to get all three of his center backs on the field just for the purposes of this game. And again, you look for your width from the wingback or fullback positions, and DeJuan Jones obviously would be a big part of that team, and Nick Lima is now fine to serve that purpose as well. There are a number of ways that the coaches could approach this. I'm fascinated by it. To me, I don't put a revolution lineup out there without Henry Kessler if he's available and ready to go. That's my preference. That's not necessarily the way the consensus would go.
Yeah, it's an interesting battle in my opinion, because you see Caleb Porter wanting to play a little bit more out of the back, and I think Arriaga brings that. If you looked at the passing stats from last weekend, Arriaga had 93 pass completion, successful pass completion, and oftentimes he's breaking those lines to then find that next pass to go forward. And when you look at his partner, it was Dave Romney. He has 75%, right? But he's winning aerial duels. He's a beast out there in terms of like tracking back and covering for Arriaga. But when you look at Henry Kessler, I think Henry Kessler has been trying very hard to up his passing completion and do a lot of the things that Caleb Porter wants to do. And he himself can obviously be good in the air. He can do some of those positive things. So it's a really good question to kind of have. I think another important player to look at is the goalkeeper. You know, Ivasic has that big penalty save against Mukhtar. Obviously, there was that second one that happened that Mukhtar scored. But in that first one, it happens literally 1 minute after the Revolution go up 2-0. They're pointing to the spot. And that could be a game-changing moment. And I talked to Ivasic yesterday. He's kind of a funny guy. And he mentioned that Carlos Hill came over to him and said, "Go right." He says, "All right, Carlos, I trust you." And he said, "I didn't save it. It was Carlos Hill that saved it." But I think that when you look at this player, you have actual consistency at the goalkeeping position, because before that, you didn't. Earl Edwards Jr. had one game. Rava starting the other games, looking a little bit shaky. Is it good that Ivasic has now come in and cemented himself? And what do you see in this player, a former Portland Timbers player? How important is he to the Revolution right now?
Yeah, depth at goalkeeper position is something we don't talk a heck of a lot about, and most teams don't value it, because we have, I think, most teams looking at their number one keeper playing somewhere between 32 and 34 games of the regular season. How this shakes out moving forward, I don't know. I do know that Caleb has tremendous confidence in Ivasic as a goalkeeper. And I think that's also something that plays into everything that we're going to see on Saturday night. From the Red Bulls' perspective here, Seth, Ryan Mara gets the call because Carlos Coronel, who's been wonderful this year for New York, also is not available for this game. So each side is playing the goalkeeper. Well, from the Red Bull side, surely they wouldn't be playing if the team was at full strength. And for New England, I'm still getting into this as we get a little bit later on in the week. I didn't look at this as some sort of controversy that's brewing in New England. Now, do you want to disagree with me on this, at whether or not it's Ivasic and Rivas is a real conversation to be had?
No, I don't think it is anymore. I think that Ivasic has now cemented himself. But I think earlier the year, there was some controversy because Rivas comes over, they get him for a transfer fee. Mm. And then a few games in, he's letting in some softer goals, not playing with his feet that well. And that's leading to Earl Edwards Jr. coming in for a game. And they talk about this idea of like, yeah, maybe like Caleb kind of says, Earl Edwards Jr. has the opportunity to kind of step up. And I think from my perspective, you mentioned it, Caleb being like really confident in Ivasic. I think it's really important to have the confidence of your head coach. That like that's the first name you could put in pen. So like my kind of question was, is it really positive they have now found someone, because he's also someone that made that really big save in Chicago. I mean, you could really argue that he's given the Revolution 3 or 4 points with some of the saves that he's made, and that's pretty big for a goalkeeper, and there's solidity now in that position, in my opinion.
It's something they haven't had to worry about for some time. When you talk about the transition of the two prior to this season and both being sold, and for good reason, I get that. It was an elite player at that position for a good stretch for this New England Revolution side. So as Ravas has his struggles, and the entire team, to be fair, had its struggles early in the season, I think, I don't want to say I saw this coming, Seth. I think that's a little bit too strong, because there was every reason to believe they were going to give Ravas a chance just to win this job hands down and be the guy moving forward. But this is what coaches who set the bar high do. You have to get out of this and you have to make difficult decisions. You know, you often hear about players needing to buy in to a club's plan. And I remember talking with Caleb earlier this year. Yeah, you know what players buy in?
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwoodone.
The ones who buy in because they see the results coming with what I'm trying to institute. And what the goalkeeper position does is erase a lot of the wrongs as you're finding your way. So the value of having an Ivicic play at that type of level that we're talking about midway through a coach's first season with a club, I think is immensely important moving forward. They need to get this right, especially with where they were with Petrovic and Turner prior to this.
I really love what you said there, that goalkeepers can sometimes mask some of the issues of a team.
Absolutely.
With Matt Turner,
absolutely,
and Georgi Petrovic, they totally did that, right? I'm curious, obviously you've watched a lot of Red Bulls games historically and recently. It feels like this is a little bit different of a Red Bulls team, right? Like the press is still there, but they're also able to play a little bit. Yes, they are going to be missing some people, but can you just talk about that little evolution of a Red Bulls team What is different about this Red Bulls team versus maybe the high energy Red Bulls soccer that we've seen in the past?
Finishing. They last season got into the playoffs, as you and your audience probably know, by the skin of their teeth, with a decision day late penalty kick by John Tolkien that got them into the play-in game. Then they won the play-in game, and they would lose in the first round to FC Cincinnati, the Supporters Shield winners. But the difference is simply this. A team last season that scored 36 goals in a 34-game regular season. As we have this conversation today, they're on pace for 62, Seth. They are on pace for 62 goals, and some of this is very easily explained. Emil Forsberg is a first-year player in MLS. Lewis Morgan is healthy. Lewis Morgan set a goal last season of winning a golden boot. He didn't score once. Why? Because he was limited to 5 appearances and 3 starts, injured, surgery in September, and his year was done. It was heartbreaking to watch because he had scored 14 goals the previous season. So with that said now, the Red Bulls do the right thing. They patiently go through the surgery and rehab, and he comes out this year with guns a-blazing. He looks like he is the best version of himself he has been. Scotland's going to the Euros, by the way. I'm interested in having a conversation with someone as to who are the 26 players on Scotland better than this guy, because he's been that impressive for the Red Bulls, and he has not been called to Scotland at this time.
Steve, the New England Revolution haven't won back-to-back league games since midway through July. They have the opportunity to do that this weekend. It's a big test, right? What do the New England Revolution have to do to get that back-to-back win, to get the things going, to get some momentum happening for this season that's been so tough?
I think deal with the Red Bulls' press well, first and foremost, and kind of let the pressure of a 3-10-1 start just go. There comes a point where you just want to be the best version of yourself as you go out. And I think all of the frustration and the losing, I think, began to take its toll on this group. You know, there comes a point when you're at the bottom of the league table where you just have to let big picture go and just play for the day. And to me, I've seen a team that struggled in that vein. I'm expecting this to be a low-scoring game on Saturday night. Again, I just talked about the Red Bulls' penchant for being a more dangerous team in terms of finishing, but I think this is one that will be a one-goal game. I think it will be tightly contested. I have confidence in the defenders on each side. Ryan Mara, we haven't talked a lot about him, but every time he is asked to play in situations like this, he plays a well-organized, well-constructed game with his defenders out of the back. In some sense, I think both of these teams will be difficult to break down on Saturday night. This is a goalkeeper, by the way, who went 4 years without playing an MLS match because Luis Robles had that Iron Man streak and he just never got in. And then when he was called upon, he was exemplary of an old pro. And the same thing happened earlier this year. The Red Bulls blanked into Miami 4-0, and there was Mara getting the shutout because Coronel, as he is this week, was on national team duty playing for Paraguay. But I think if the Revolution deal well with the Red Bulls press, and if they get a moment or two of brilliance from Carlos Heel in this game, as he so often dictates play and dictates results on his own, I think there's a good chance the Revolution can get their fourth win.
Yeah, and I look at this Revolution side, and you mentioned finishing from the Red Bulls' perspective. Well, it's got to be finishing from the Revs' perspective, right? 11 goals on the season. They've only scored 2 goals in a league game twice at this point. But there's been chances. Like, there's been chances where Giacomo Veroni is near the goal and has to just get the shot on frame. So it's about finishing. And to your point about, you know, playing for the moment, I think when you look back at that Miami game that they had, it felt like they were playing for the moment. You know, even though they had that illness that was going through the team was up for it, and they scored that early goal, and it actually looks like they were neutralizing Messi pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
But Messi is inevitable, and they start scoring. So you have to make sure you kind of forget some of those moments, play for this moment, and get the ball in the back of the net.
And also, the Lewis Morgan, if Lewis Morgan, who can play on either side very effectively, if he does start on the left side of the field for the Red Bulls, I'm interested in whether there is space to be found beyond DeJuan Jones, because that would be something the Red Bulls would look to exploit. And I know Jones is a very good player. He's very good when he gets forward into attack. But to me, there's space on that side that Lewis Morgan would like to exploit if he is allowed that opportunity. And he is a very good player cutting in on that side because he likes to shoot off his right foot. He's a deceptive player, by the way, and this is nothing the Revolution don't know about. He jokes all the time, I'm 51% right-footed, 49 left. He keeps people guessing, and by the way, he's a guy who takes penalties with both feet. That's a rarity throughout the world, but he's exceptional with either foot is my point. So that's an area potentially New York will look to exploit. We'll see how this plays out. But again, I am taking nothing for granted looking at the projected starting 11s of these sides going into Saturday. I've been fooled too many times, international break. They're always going to give you something you were not expecting just days earlier.
Steve, I got to ask you one question. You've been around this league for a very long time. I love talking about people that have been around the league. I've talked to Alexi Lawless, and back in 1996, it was the Wild West and practicing in parking lots. Can you give me one good story of an older MLS and how different it is nowadays versus back then?
My first ever call was Metro Stars Kansas City Wizards in 2002. Arrowhead Stadium was the venue. And I was filling in at the time for JP Della Camera, who was working a national broadcast. And this was my first MLS game being called. I walk into Arrowhead, a stadium that I've watched from the comfort of my home for many years, whether it was soccer matches or the Kansas City Chiefs in their heyday. And as you know, it's a wonderful venue. It seats close to 80,000 people, and there are maybe 4,500 people in the stands for a Saturday night game. And I'll never forget, that didn't take away the excitement of what I was watching. Mike McGee scored an equalizing goal, and the final was 1-1. But we had that moment earlier this year where Inter Miami played Sporting KC at Arrowhead with better than 70,000 in the house. And you take a moment to put things into perspective where we were and where we are, and man, is it night and day. We're living in a different universe. My first season, Seth, was 2002. That's the year that the league contracted to 10 teams. They eliminated both Florida teams that year, Tampa Bay and Miami. And to think where we are now with San Diego coming as team number 30 in our league next year is growth that no one could have anticipated 20 years ago.
Absolutely. This league has come a long way. And you know, amazing stadiums, amazing players. Maybe one day you'll be calling a game at a soccer-specific stadium around the Boston area. But this weekend, you'll be at Foxborough. You'll be at Gillette Stadium alongside Taylor Twellman. Steve, thank you so much for the time.
Seth, thank you. Anytime. I look forward to seeing you Saturday night. Take care.
All right. Hope you enjoyed that. We we appreciate Seth and Steve's time. As always, you know, it's again, it's always great to get some outside perspective on things that are going on here. And, you know, things are looking a little bit better, possibly for the time being. I did also forget to mention on the other side that Bruce Arena was on a show or podcast, or I'm actually not quite sure what it is because I clearly don't listen to it. But it's called Kicking It. I believe it's part of the Galazzo Network. Not quite sure what that is either. But anyway, if you want to hear Bruce Arena talk about, you know, his career and who his favorite player for the national team is, and very, very little about what happened last summer with the New England Revolution and how he misses the fans and, you know, his time here before the whole thing unraveled, check that out. Again, you can just Google Kicking It. Kicking It at Bruce Arena, and I'm sure it'll come up. And of course, if you actually know what this show is, I'm sure you'll have a much easier time finding it than I did. But anyway, be sure to check that out. If you do have some Bruce Arena related questions for the show this weekend, you know, we will attempt to get to them, depending on how many questions we have about the game itself. But, you know, the bit of a spoiler here, he doesn't reveal what happened last summer. I'm sure you would have heard about that by now if he had, but he indeed did not. So the non-disclosure agreement also apparently applies to podcasts and TV shows. So we would be more than happy to answer any questions that you have, but if it's in regards to last summer, we still don't know what happened because he didn't really talk about it. So I really can't imagine our answers to your questions about Bruce Arena would be all that much different than they have been, going all the way back to last summer. But anyway, be sure to check that out. It's some entertaining, revolution-related stuff at least. And again, if you really want to kind of ask us again what we think about Bruce Arena and what happened last summer, I'm sure someone on the podcast this weekend will be happy to talk about it at least a little bit. Without me babbling on anymore about something I don't really know what I'm talking about, let's get to the New York Red Bulls and the game this weekend, which I do have a little bit more research knowledge on.
This week, the Revs return to Gillette Stadium, the home of the 2018 Mobile Mini Sun Cup champions, to face Max Verstappen's favorite MLS team, the New York Red Bulls. It's already these two teams' second meeting of the season, having already played in Red Bull Stadium all the way back on May 11th. As you may recall, Red Bull ran out 4-2 winners in that game. Since the two teams last met, the Revs have dropped 2 out of 3, most recently pulling out a 2-1 win on the road last weekend in Nashville. Red Bulls, meanwhile, have won 3 out of 4 since May 11th, including a comprehensive 4-1 thrashing of DC United in their one real away game out of those four. They also beat Charlotte and Orlando at home while dropping an 9-v-9 game at Citi Field against the Brooklyn Italians. Red Bull come to Gillette with their DRS wide open in fourth place in the Eastern Conference with 8 wins, 5 draws, and only 3 losses. They also come in with a positive goal difference of +7. Well, obviously +7 would be positive, but anyway, there it is. They're gaining an average of 1.81 points per game, just one of 6 teams in all of MLS grabbing 1.8 points per game or more. And it's kind of important to keep track of this points per game stuff, as annoying as it is to say, because we have reached a point in the season where teams have played as few as 14 and as many as 18 games. So it can be a little bit misleading just looking at the standings as to, you know, who is doing well. So again, the Red Bulls are in the top 6 in terms of points per game every time they take the field. On the other hand, your last place New England Revolution do have games in hand over all the teams in front of them, which of course is everyone, and are picking up 0.71 points per game. But they have played the fewest games in MLS. So a bit of a rough combination there of having played the fewest points and are not picking up points all that often when they do play. However, it is not the worst points per game average in Major League Soccer. If you can believe that, I mean, go ahead and verify it if you don't want to take my word for it, but I assure you that the San Jose Earthquakes and Sporting Kansas City are both getting less points per game than the Revs. They are picking up 0.69 points per game to the Revs' 0.71. So it is, you know, it's a small gap, but it is a gap nonetheless, and it puts the Revs not in last place in some sort of positive category this season, which, you know, as we're all aware of, is a bit of a rarity. The Revs have only been able to beat teams so far this season underperforming their expected goals, and they're going to have to change that up on Saturday night if the Revs are going to win 2 in a row for the first time this season, because the Red Bulls have outperformed their expected goals by 6.2 so far this season. They've scored 29 with an XG of 22.8. The Red Bulls are conceding 1.38 goals per game, though they are just one of 2 teams to concede more than 1 goal against the Revs this season. All right, so there are 2 games in which the Revs have scored 2 goals, last week against Nashville and the previous meeting against Red Bulls. So they've been defending fairly well, but they did defend poorly enough to concede to the Revs twice. New York, if you haven't watched them this season, or maybe if you only saw the one time that they played the Revs, they're not pressing with the intensity of seasons past. That's obviously something that all of the Red Bull teams are known for, which is kind of their high-pressing game. But so far in 2024, they are allowing their opponents to complete an average of 14 passes per defensive action. That is 22nd in all of MLS. So basically, what that really means, if you've not heard this poorly named statistic before, they are able to stop what the other team is doing with some sort of defensive action once every 14 passes.
Last season, their passes per defensive action was 9.4, so substantially lower. It was the best in all of Major League Soccer, and they were the only team with a points per defensive action below 10. So again, the intensity of their press has backed off quite a bit compared to last season. However, they are seventh in high turnovers forced. So high turnovers, essentially winning the ball back within 40 yards of the opponent's goal. So they are seventh in high turnovers forced, and they are ninth in shots forced from high turnovers. So pressing less, yes, but still highly effective when they do press. So it'll be interesting to see if the Revs can avoid the Red Bulls pressing traps and use timely long balls and bypassing the midfield when needed. The Revs have certainly done better when going long from the keeper and minimizing time spent in the midfield third so far this season. So that has been their part of their formula for success so far this year, and it looks like it is going to be needed on Saturday night. If you're looking for Caleb's excuses for a potential loss this week, look no further than the absences of Thomas Chocolai, Nacho Hill through injury, and Esmir Barakarovic and Noel Buck being away on international duty. That leaves the Revs with only Dylan Barrero and Ima Boateng as options out wide, in addition to Ryan Spalding, actually, who, for those of you who don't know, he played almost exclusively as a wide player last season when he was on loan with Tampa Bay in the USL, and he actually performed quite well. He was actually, according to FootMob's player rating, he was actually their top performer in his time with the team last season, playing in that wide mid position. But the Revs deemed that that wasn't sufficient depth, and they recalled Jack Peniuto from a successful loan spell with Rhode Island FC. It's unclear if Peniuto will return to Rhode Island after this weekend, but if he's not going to play with the Revs, he would certainly be better off down in Rhode Island, where he had started four straight games. And, according to everyone that's watched him play down there, he's doing quite well. Rhode Island FC was quite happy to have him. The fans were enjoying having him around, and he was making a really big impact on the team. Now, obviously, the goal of sending a player out on loan is to get them minutes, get them playing time, have some success, boost their confidence, and then come back, to their, their parent club or whatever you want to call it, and step in and do well. But I don't think the four-game time horizon was really what anybody had in mind when he went out on that loan. So hopefully he comes back, gets some playing time this weekend, and then is able to go back to Rhode Island FC to continue, his own personal development. He did just turn 20 today, so at this age, playing time is certainly critical for him to get. However, the tie may be turning. However, for the Revs in the all important luck department, Caleb Porter's remarked several times about how they just can't catch a break, but they have caught possibly the biggest break that they've gotten all season, as Emil Forsberg will be away on international duty, and he will not play this weekend. He leads New York with a 7.78 match rating. He has 6 goals and 3 assists on the season so far, and Forsberg's overall match rating is 8th best in all of Major League Soccer, and he's been the player of the match 4 times already this season. So the fact that, he is unquestionably, their best player, the man that kind of makes it all happen, he will not be here this weekend. If that isn't a stroke of good fortune and a bit of luck in your favor, I honestly don't know what is. But we'll see how Caleb twists his way out of that one if the Revs are unable to get a result this weekend. Also, Lewis Morgan will be playing this weekend. He has 9 goals on the season already, and he'll certainly be the main concern for the Revs' back line. Frankie Amaya and Daniel Edelman have made an effective central midfield pairing in the Red Bulls 4-4-2 formation, which, of course, the football hipsters exclusively refer to as a 4-2-2-2. But whatever it is, those two have been doing a great job in the middle. Morgan has been a serious threat, game in and game out up top. So it's going to be a challenge for the Revs this weekend. But the Red Bulls do have mixed results on the road this year. They have 3 wins, 3 draws, and 3 losses. And again, they will be missing their best player. And at some point, the Revs are going to have to beat a good team and win multiple games in a row. And they can do both those things this weekend. But they're going to have to be sharp in all phases of play for the whole game if they're going to pull this one off. And it's definitely getting to that time of the season where if there's any hope at all that this bus is going to find its way into the playoff positions, that turnaround has really got to start to come,
right now in June. You know, so far this season, the Revs have won, you know, the first game in April, the first game in May, and then not been able to get any subsequent wins in that month. So they're going to have to turn that around as well. And again, this weekend's a great opportunity. They're at home. They can get their second win in a row. They can beat a quality team for the first time all season. But of course, look, no matter what happens, you know, good, bad, or otherwise, we will always be here to talk about it and take your questions in the aftermath of whatever it is that transpires on Saturday night. So hopefully we have a game to enjoy, and then we'll be back after that with a podcast, which is always enjoyable, no matter the result.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.